All you have to do is follow three simple rules. One, never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected. Two, take it outside. Never start anything inside the bar unless it's absolutely necessary. And three, be nice. Ask him to walk. Be nice. If he won't walk, walk him. But be nice. If you can't walk him, one of the others will help you. I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
Well, how are we supposed to know when that is?
You won't. I'll let you know. You are the bouncers. I am the cooler. All you have to do is watch my back and each other's. Take out the trash.
Hey, everybody. We're back here with another mini retrospective here at Citizen Frame. You asked for it. We're going to give it to you.
That sounds like a threat.
That's right. Yeah, this is the greatest trilogy of all time. Some of you might think the original Star Wars trilogy. No, not even close. The Godfather trilogy? Nope. Has nothing on these bad boys. Because we're here to talk the Roadhouse trilogy.
Oh, yes.
Now, some of you are like, wait a minute. There's only one Roadhouse, and then there's that requel kind of thing that came out on Amazon a couple months back. You would be wrong. Because during all this research, we found Roadhouse 2, The Last Call.
Oh, yep.
There was a sequel, people. And because you're such a wonderful listening audience, this particular podcast, we're going to be talking Roadhouse and, of course, Roadhouse 2, The Last Call.
Yep. We dot all our I's and cross all our T's. You know what I mean?
So this would be a retrospective for the original two, and then the requel would get its own next
week.
But
I would say as well that the Roadhouse trilogy, even though I haven't even seen the third one, this new one yet, but I will do for this next podcast, I would say that they are, based on the first two, still better than the Disney Star Wars trilogy. So there you go.
That's kind of pushing it.
Nope.
No, that's...
At least they're more authentic.
There's competency behind the Star Wars ones. I mean, come on.
The Disney ones?
Yeah. I mean, you still have Harrison Ford in there, and there's some of the original cast, and Force Awakens gets a pass alone.
Yeah, but they sabotage them, and also Force Awakens is just a remake.
Yeah,
of
but to say, Hope. To say Roadhouse 2, Last Call, is better than those, come on. Don't you think, I mean, you're being a little silly.
Depends what way you look at it, but yeah.
All right, we're gonna talk about Roadhouse here, directed by Rowdy Harrington. What a great name for a guy who directed Roadhouse.
Yes.
Rowdy.
Yeah, that's the perfect name for someone that would perhaps frequent a sort of stereotypical sort of redneck bar where all people do is fight instead of drink and talk.
What the fuck? Prequent?
Frequent?
Oh, I thought you said frequent. I was like, what the fuck?
No, frequent.
Okay. All right. Rowdy Harrington, he's done some good stuff. He did Striking Distance, which I like, with Bruce Willis. And he directed Jack's Back, which is a nice little Jack the Ripper film with James Spader back in the late 80s. It was pretty good.
I think I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so he's done some. He's got some good stuff. Yeah, I remember seeing this in the theater, and it wasn't a big hit. I mean, it made some money, but not the big hit you think it would be. It's more of a cult hit, believe it or not. And it was the soundtrack that got more press.
Over here, it really sort of became popular whenever it was first released on video. Like a lot of films back then, I remember everyone, you know, all the kids I sort of knocked about with, thought it was great. And it was, I when I first watched this, I remember having a mate, and I'm not going to mention his name, but he thought this was so fucking good, it made him want to be, he sort of aspired to be a bouncer. And seeing that there, I wanted to be a boxer after watching Rocky IV, but so,
They're not bouncers, man, they're coolers. they're Dalton's a cooler.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so the Jeff Healey Band was famous in this. They're the ones who obviously starred it with him. Jeff Healey plays Cody. Now, sad story about Jeff Healey. He died very young at 41.
Yeah,
cancer, lung cancer.
Yeah.
But at 8 months old as a child, they had to remove his eyes because he had cancer. awful. In the eyes or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but so they gave him glass eyes. Learned how to play the guitar when he was three.
Yeah.
I mean, what an impressive accomplishment for going through such crap. And sadly, still taken early at 41. But the Jeff Healey Band's music in this is wonderful. Just absolutely wonderful. And give them a massive shout out. This movie is considered, it is actually listed, the most enjoyable bad movie ever made.
Right?
Yes. And let's just dive into this film. I remember loving it when I was younger. Now I'm watching it for the podcast eyes. It really doesn't hold up.
It's a massive slice of 80s cheese. Like, you know, this is like quintessential 80s cheese.
Yeah, I know. We use that word a lot, the, you know, cheese, but some of it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't carry over well. But you like, I still like Cobra, even though it's bad 80s cheese. You don't like that 80s cheese, but you might like this. I guess it's all to each their own, really.
Tango and Cash, I mean, Cobra's... I mean, it's
no, you hate it.
At times.
Come on.
Yeah. But regarding 80s cheese, the real 80s cheese that I would love would be Tango and Cash. This, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. All right, so this one we got Patrick Swayze as Dalton, Kelly Lynch as the really believable Dr. Clay.
see, whenever she's first introduced, it's as if she's walked off a fucking porn set. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she actually was very good in an independent film by Gus, I think it was Gus Van Sant, who, with Matt Dillon, called Drugstar Cowboy.
Yes, yes.
That's where she kind of got discovered, and she's very good, and she's not a bad actress. In this one, she's terrible.
Yeah, she's basically Dr. Pornstar.
The actor that pretty much saves any hope for the film would be Sam Elliott, the man who never ages. Sam Elliott has looked like 80s Sam Elliott since... Well, the 80s.
Yeah. He pretty much played a lot. The problem I have with Sam Elliott, I mean, not obviously nothing personal, but is he seems to play the same types of characters.
Yeah.
But Sam Elliott. I mean, I suppose that's his niche. That's his thing that's that he sort of.
Don't diss Sam Elliott. Ben Gazzara as Brad Weasley. Marshall Teague as Jimmy. Kevin Teague. Marshall Teague. Yeah. Kevin Teague as Frank. And then Jeff Healey, Red, Emmett, Pat, Carrie, Jack, and Steve.
Yeah.
So there we go. Yeah. You know, we talk about really good writing. This doesn't have it. So I almost think these next two films we're about to talk about just wrote themselves as they went. Right? I mean, there's nothing here, really. I mean, the story is a man with a background is hired to help clean up an establishment at a small town.
Yep.
He wants to remodel it and clean it up and give it its name. So you hire this guy called, he's a cooler, and he goes in and he cleans up the bouncers, cleans up the ruckus and whatever. And so all he does is, he's like Jack Reacher. He goes town to town.
Mr. Wolf from Pulp Fiction.
He's what?
Mr. Wolf from Pulp Fiction. I solve problems.
Oh, he's not the cleaner.
No, I know, I'm joking. In a way, he is, though.
No, well, complete opposite. He's not cleaning up a crime scene. Well, maybe he is.
Well, he is, in a way.
He's preventing crime.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Like Cobra.
Oh, Jesus. Your disease, I'm the cure.
Exactly, yeah.
So, I love when Frank gets stabbed.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, I can take you. I mean, nobody would behave like this. I mean,
my thoughts exactly.
Nobody's going to fight Patrick Swayze, first of all.
Right. No one person in this film behaves like actual human beings behave in real life. Also, I have a major problem with the sort of bar itself. I mean, this isn't a fucking bar. This is a lunatic asylum. But you can get rough bars. I drank in rough bars. I've, you know, went to rough bars, you know, the roughest of the rough bars. This is just a pure cliche, you know, where it's just like, it's like a fucking WWF wrestling fucking Royal Rumble. It's just stupid.
Yeah.
And unrealistic.
And that's pretty much, you nailed it on the head there with wrestling. This came out of a time where wrestling was huge.
Yes.
And this is pretty much who this is for.
morons.
Now, don't get me wrong, guys. I'm going to tear this thing. I'm tearing this thing to shreds. But I do enjoy it. I do like Roadhouse, and so I'm just going to have fun with it here. I could watch it again. There's nothing here, right? I mean, we're on the same page. This is just hollow fun.
A big issue as well I have with Dalton's character, as much as I like Patrick Swayze as a person, he's just so much of a sort of cliche of a great guy. He's no character flaws apart from the fact that he fucking ripped somebody's throat out, but he killed someone. You know, in his past, you know, when his sort of he's tormented over, you know, all this here. But the Samuel, you know, talks to him about it later on and sort of reassures him. But he's just such, he's over the top, sort of perfect, almost perfect guy. Which, you know what I mean? He's a philosopher. He can fight. He's a top shagger with the women. You know what I mean? He's Mr. fucking Ninja Man. A likable Steven Seagal. Everything. You know what I mean? It's just fucking stupid.
So when he gets stabbed, you see him stitching himself up.
He's Rambo as well. That's right. Yeah, he's Rambo in First Blood. Yeah.
So when the double deuce is where he's going to go, and he gets 5,000 up front and 500 a night, he gets full control. And I do like the little side thing where he always has to buy a piece of shit car, because every time he goes into town to do this, his town gets wrecked the night of, because they're, you know, the people he kicks out hit his, you know, just puncture his tires and shit like that.
Yeah, but his real cool car is locked away safely. Well, until the end.
It's not really a cool car, though, is it?
But I think it's considered that.
Back then, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, until the end, but it gets wrecked as well. When he turns into James Bond.
And then he walks into the bar. He's all looking around. Mm-hmm. And then you have Carrie, the most annoying fucking character in the whole fucking film. Oh, my God, you're Dalton.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I
first
know
what. Of all, who knows these great bouncer cooler guys? It's like they're fucking Harrison Ford or something.
Celebrity bouncers? Like, yeah. Since fuck? Did that become a thing? Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. Oh, my. She goes fucking pretty much creams your pants because he says she's standing right there.
Same with Garrett. He's like this legendary bouncer. Since when did bouncers become celebrities? You know.
First of all, Wade, Sam Elliott, he gets away with it.
Sorry, Garrett.
It's Wade.
Are you sure? Right. Sorry. Yeah.
Be Wade Garrett.
Yeah, I think it might be. Yeah. Anyway.
Very cowboy names. Dalton, Wade.
Oh no, they're totally, even Kelly Lynch, she's known as Doc, as in, you know, like Doc Holliday and stuff. That's intentional. And this film is a Western.
Oh, of course it is. It's High Noon. Guy comes into a town to clean it up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
the
villain. Pale Rider.
Totally. Yeah.
I wish we're watching Pale Rider.
But I think it's kind of cool that they went for the sort of Western vibe, you know. But I mean, this is even like the sort of most cliched of Westerns aren't as cliched as this, you know.
I love that when he's
they're up bar and stuff.
I love when he's assessing the bar and he's looking around and we don't think, what's he doing? He's not doing anything. He's not doing any bouncering.
I know.
And then the next day he goes, okay. Waitress, you're fired. This is we serve beer, not drugs. You're done for fucking checks in the back of the bar. And you're done. You're stealing. And the guy, Pat, I think his name is, he actually is cousins of Ben Gazzara. He's his nephew or something.
Yeah, they're all related.
Yeah, they're all related. They're all inbreds. And so that causes a ruckus. You fired my... The story here is so bad.
Yeah. And Ben Gazzara's it's obvious that they're all going to jump to the fucking the bad guy side, and you know who runs the town, you know. Oh, and also for some reasons the bad guys drive monster trucks, you know, just to like to, you know, what?
It's bad. It's just bad. Oh my God, I just don't know, but yeah, you got Ben Gazzara here playing the bad guy, Brad Weasley and Wesley, whatever his name is, and it's. You really could have played with that. Here's the problem I have with the film.
Yeah.
There's very little fights in it, believe it or not. And if there are, they're like half a second. And then it takes a serious turn when they kill Wade. Pretty brutal, actually.
Yep.
But like, this doesn't fit in for what we were just watching.
They had to kill him, I think.
It actually would have fit better in part two. believe it or not. Yeah. We'll get to it, what I'm talking about there. But yeah. I don't, it just seems very muddled.
No. I think for a start, this film is too long.
It's almost fucking 2 hours.
Yeah. An hour and a half, you know, would have been more than enough. But I thought it was pretty obvious that Wade was going to get killed. I mean, they had to kill him off. It's basically like Cocktail or any of these types of films or even Star Wars that were referenced earlier.
Cocktail.
Where the mentor character has to die. It's like to add dramatic weight to the final act, you know, with the main character. It's, you know, they do it with Obi-Wan Kenobi. They do it with Harrison Ford in The Force Awakens. So it's the, you know, just to add that extra dramatic weight for the final act. So I couldn't really remember. I watched this in video when it was first released in video. So that was like 35 years ago or something. So I couldn't really remember. But watching him, he's going to die. They're going to have to kill him off. I was disappointed that you didn't see his death scene. I thought Sam Elliott himself deserved to be his death scene to be filmed. Instead, they just go into the bar, and he's laying there, and Patrick Swayze thinks he's drunk, and he goes, "Hey, get up!" You know, but oh no, he's been stabbed in the back.
He was dead.
Did you notice as well? I'm seeing on the note after he's been stabbed, the note to Patrick Swayze goes, "It was Tails."
Yeah,
Tails is spelt wrong, T-A-L-E-S instead of T-A-I-L-S.
Is it?
Yes. I'm near certain. It's quick shot.
I can't see them making that mistake. Well, you never know. The writers of this probably didn't want to.
I don't know. Who knows?
But when he goes to go to Emma's place, the barn guy, and that fucking barn he rents is pretty fucking nice.
It's fucking gorgeous, but just by chance, it's across the pond from Bad Guy Ranch.
Yeah, I know. And then...
Yeah.
And Carrie comes in to bring him breakfast. How the fuck did she get in? But whatever. She comes in, and he comes out naked. He's like, he's going toward the window. And then she sees fucking bay windows, which he's about to fuck Kelly Lynch in front of, by the way. And he sits there and he poses as his ass cheeks flutter, whatever. And Carrie's like, ooh. I'm like, oh, fuck me. Get over yourself, Swayze. God love you, man. I like you, but come on.
Yeah.
What is he posing for, a sculptor? Sculpture? Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah. Well, again, it's all to sort of add to the sort of, he's such a brilliant guy, and he's so cool, even though he's a top shagger anyway, or what we'll soon know, but it's also, not only that, he's the body of a Greek god, you know, this type of thing, and he does all this, I don't even know what it is, all this martial arts crap too.
There's a scene where he goes into the auto shop, we meet Red, who I kind of like that character. I like the side character, some of them.
Yes.
You know, Red's all right. And you find out his niece is Dr. Is it his daughter?
No, she's the niece of the bad guy. The main bad guy.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
I thought she was the niece of Red, the
No. She's the niece of the main bad guy. So she is. Seriously?
Are you sure?
I'm 90% sure.
I don't know. I thought she was. I thought Red was her.
No.
All right. Okay.
Not unless I've got this completely wrong. I'm pretty certain she's the niece of me and Bad Guy.
You sure you're not getting confused with the second one?
That's what I was just thinking there. To be continued.
Because the second one, she's the cousin of
Gary Busey's son.
Yeah. Yes, of Wild Bill.
Yes. Another
Western. I think it's Red's niece.
No, I'm...
Who gives
a
fuck?
No, she's not.
Who really cares?
Exactly. It's not important.
Yeah, it's not important. They didn't care. Why should we?
Yeah.
But there's a scene in the auto shop where Brad and Jimmy... No, what is it? Dalton and... Is it Jimmy? Yeah. Dalton and Jimmy meet for the first time. He's the badass he's going to rip the throat out of.
Yes.
They have this glare. It's like a fucking cologne commercial.
I know.
Like, what the fuck?
I know. It's like, I know. It's so cheesy. So it is. You know what's a brilliant example of a film very like this, but done really well, where basically there's an asshole in the South torturing everybody in this small town, and it has to be sorted out. There's a film, Billy Bob Thornton, called Sling Blade. It's a fantastic film.
Yeah, okay. That's the you need to stop with your comparisons. That is a completely, completely different film.
No, but I would say it, but there's similarities.
No, there's not. No.
Neither is.
They're filmed like, down south.
Yes, no, but there's also an asshole sort of causing problems for everyone in turn. It's your Dwight Yoakam.
All right. Okay, to each their own, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, or in your case, mm-hmm. Your comparisons. You could have said something completely like, I would say Homefront. But a guy coming back down south, the town's being overrun by James Franco and the gang, and Jason Statham there to settle the score.
Yeah.
Homefront is a much better version of this. Which was written by Stallone.
Right, so I haven't seen it.
You should check that one out. Yeah. Sling Blade. What the fuck?
Sling Blade is a fantastic film.
It's a great film, but it's a drama.
Yes, well, technically, this is a drama.
No, it's not. Let's just move on. I'm going to fry green tomorrow.
Take it outside, Kieran. You know?
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Right up there with Tom Atkins and Tom Skerritt. Fuck. I love when Emmett gets up in the morning. He's going to he's going to feed his horse, whatever the fuck he's doing. And there's everybody, including the head bad guy, Ben Gazzara. He's across the lake. And we're all watching Patrick Swayze do Tai Chi.
Who doesn't notice them? But yeah, again, it's more of this. It's basically the people who made the film masturbating over Dalton's character. You know what I mean? It's
I love how he's like comes out of the bed and his ass is hanging out and he's doing Tai Chi and he's telling everyone he's a philosopher. He believes in good. And then he smokes like 12 packs a day.
What a load of fucking nonsense. Like, you know, it's just
okay. Oh.
It's just it's like I don't know, it's like some sort of, you know, wish fulfillment self insert from I don't know whoever wrote this. It's like I don't know, maybe they were writing to sort of what you know, a studio sort of demands or whatever, you know, make them like the coolest guy. It just doesn't work.
It's
really unrealistic.
I mean, Stallone did a little bit in the 90s, but even Schwarzenegger wouldn't do this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, come on, this is.
No, I'll say it again. No one character in this film behaves like a real human being. it's mad.
Jesus.
Actual human beings don't talk like this or act like this.
So Pat goes to get revenge. They're all going to kick his ass. And in the process, Dalton gets stabbed, right? So this leads him to go to the doctor's. And this is where we meet, you know, Dr. Clay, because that's believable.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's pure, like, sort of 90s porn or something. You know what I mean?
So there's a line. It's the best line in the film. And because the dialogue between him and Clay is groundbreaking. Something you see.
Oh, that's such sexual tension.
It's something you see in Shawshank Redemption. It's incredible. But
it's Shakespearean.
She goes, here's, I'm going to give you a shot to numb the pain. He goes, I don't do that. She goes, but it's going to be painful. He says, I swear he says this, pain don't hurt.
Yeah.
Well, yes, it does. The definition of pain.
Some of the lines here are like absurdly bad. It's like whatever he says. Whenever, you know, we started cleaning up the bar and started, you know, all this here, he says, it's gonna get worse before it gets better. No shit, Sherlock. No shit, Mr. Philosopher. You know.
You know, it's
Sigmund Freud. Yeah.
In the States, especially in the 80s, this was, or even the 70s and the 60s, a lot of films had these small town and this big bad man just taking over the town. Totally. First of all, this would never happen, but it's cliche. It is. It happens in every film practically. It happened with Nowhere to Run with Van Damme. It happens everywhere.
It happens in film in the 80s. Yeah, it's a Western trope. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Just make a phone call to the FBI and go, hey, we got a problem.
Yep.
That's it. End of the story. I mean, the guy's not that much of a badass. His henchmen are fucking losers, besides Jimmy. And he's going to be useless to him soon when he gets his throat ripped out.
Exactly. I mean, he's like evil ninja man. So he is, you know. And even the expressions and the acting, it's just by the bad guys, it's just completely over the top. It's like if a four-year-old was asked to write what a bad guy's like, you know what I mean? You know, it's, well, I don't know. So dumb.
Yeah, he's taking 10% of what the town makes.
I think that's what he's doing. I think that it is. I think that actually might actually be, there's, to be fair to the writer, so there might be some sort of, that might be a clever allusion to the Bible, actually the Christian Bible, where you're meant to give like something like 10% of your earnings to the church. And, you know, a lot of the churches would sort of, well, praying this here in Northern Ireland, you know, everywhere, I'm assuming. But yeah, so that might be some sort of clever nod to that. But yes, he's taking 10% of everybody's wages. Like, who would stick that? You know, what, you know, that's, you know, well, I don't know. I'm assuming he quashes any sort of, and he's not even that threatening as a bad guy. You know what I mean? Apart from whatever, he beats up his own man for some reason, you know?
Yeah, well, that's also, the you know, we saw it just recently with, was it Harold? In Long Good Friday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He always beat up his own men.
Well, yes, I know that's a thing, but it's just...
That's kind of the mentality.
But with here... his men are much younger and fitter, but yet he's like this sort of older man who could just punch the fuck out of younger men. It's just, I don't know, it just doesn't... It's
because they won't fight back.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
That's why. He's intimidated. He runs the roost. Yeah. Come on, you didn't see that wonderful, you didn't see that character development? Wow, if you didn't see that in Roadhouse.
Well, you know, as you know, Roadhouse is well known for its character development and, you know, and nuances and subtleties.
So when they lure Dalton outside and they start beating the shit out of him.
Yeah.
I love, even when he's getting he was getting beaten to death. There's not even a black eye.
No, nothing. Well, yeah.
And so Wade comes in to save the day. Yeah. And then we're introduced to great Sam Elliott shows up.
Yes.
Who, watching it now, I like seeing Sam Elliott, anything he does.
Yeah.
He was more just a cameo. His character's kind of wasted.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would have been better with him, you know, for a lot more of it, you know, because at least he has a certain presence. And don't get me wrong, Swayze has a presence as well, but it's just the dialogue and the general woodenness of it.
I mean, well, Swayze, I don't like, isn't great in this. It's very bland. He's very wooden. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way he was told to do it, meaning because we don't know who you are.
You're so a mysterious sort of guy. You don't let your personality,
yeah, your emotions don't flow, whatever the fuck. But you've seen him in, like, Next of Kin, which is his next film, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And Ghost. I remember that. Yep.
Then there'll be Next. And
yeah.
So this is nothing against Swayze, because I like Swayze. Point Break, he's very good in. So he picks everything up, but I think this is direction that let him down.
Yeah, there's, again, it's just, it's, the problem with this is on like Tango and Cash and stuff and other sort of examples of 80s cheese, they're sort of tongue-in-cheek and they don't take themselves too serious. This takes itself too serious.
That's what I don't get. First, it's tongue-in-cheek at some parts, right? Like you got Tubby. When the bear falls on him, I just saw the bear fall on me.
Yeah, at the end, yeah.
But yeah, we have scenes of
fell on me.
We have scenes where Denise was beaten badly. The girl, the blonde, hot little blonde girl that shows up in the film periodically.
Yeah,
she gets beaten up by Ben Gazzara. You don't see it, but you see the aftermath of her face is all beaten and bruised.
Yeah, there's suggestion there.
Yeah, you see Wade getting stabbed in the chest, and so there's a lot of dark elements here, but it's thrown in the midst of kind of laughable goo.
I think there were maybe, but laughable goo that also takes itself too serious, but at times, but I think that maybe a lot of the more sort of serious and sort of arguably, you know, potentially better elements were edited out. Apparently this film, you think this is long, apparently this original cut of this film was close to 4 hours.
Jesus.
So maybe stuff like that, where it's more sort of serious and actually... potentially believable, was left on the cutting room floor.
Well, that would explain the Keith David. Keith David's a good actor I always like to see.
Yep. Totally wasted.
He plays Ernie, the new bartender. He's barely in it.
Yep.
He's in it for like 30 seconds.
Yep. big time, totally wasted. He's basically an extra. So he is.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought it'd be cool if we, I thought you should give him a part like, yeah, we see Keith David, and even the audience will know who he is, and they'll be like, wait, what happened to him? Then he shows up at the end to help Dalton, like he's one of his buddies. Yeah. He's like, yeah, exactly.
I want like to see spy Keith cooler. David fight in it.
Yeah, let him help him out.
Instead, he poops paints very briefly.
Yeah, I
think there was a lot of editing around his character as well.
I don't get it. It would have been made more sense if Keith David was a mole to help him.
He's also one of the top billed in the opening credits, so yeah. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, his agent would fight for that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But you're right. There must have been more footage of him. Must have.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would imagine so.
Oh, my God. Let's talk about the love scene. This is the funniest fucking thing. He's in this barn, and it's pretty much this all open air barn, all these barn doors, you know how big those fuckers are.
Because he's a cool guy, so he has to have a cool house. Yeah.
They're fucking.
Yeah.
Ben Gazzara is sitting there having a cigar watching them fuck.
Yes, pervert.
And then when they're done fucking, as you do, Patrick Swayze goes outside naked, stands on a rooftop.
Yep.
Sits on a rooftop naked. She shows up naked. They start fucking on that.
Yep.
And I was like, really?
Yeah. It's they're trying to make the audience just say, you know, that Dalton is such a cool guy. You know what I mean? He's just brilliant at everything, including making love to the ladies, you know, in his really cool house.
Making love to the ladies.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing this guy can't do. including ripping throats out.
Act would be up there, probably.
Yeah.
Well, I know. Swayze is a good actor, but in this, it's pretty high. Oh, boy.
It's almost camp. It's so sort of cheesy. You know what I mean? And homoerotic as well, you know? But
Let me ask you, how long has he been here? Because every time he goes into the double deuce, it's new sign. Then he goes in again. It's all remodeled. Then
yeah, he goes in again. Different bar. Yeah, it's like he's so good. He can actually. He's so brilliant, and these people are so thick. Basically, what they're saying is he can even get them to like they can't even put a fucking coat of paint on a bar without him keeping them right.
Fuck. And then you have the whole sequence where Dalton, Clay, and Wade all go out, and he dances. We're at the diner, and you know Sam Elliott being Sam Elliott, all smoothy cowboyish.
Should have cut this.
This whole scene should have been cut.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In fact, there's no fighting in this whole movie, really. A couple punches here and there, but I want the real fighting is only between him and Jimmy.
Yeah.
And there's one when he gets stabbed. When Pat comes back to, you know, get his job back, but that's it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There isn't much. Yeah, a lot of it's the sort of the real drama of his, you know, his journey, you know, to for cleaning up this town, basically. It's, yeah. If you're going to have an 80s cheese film like this and, you know, at least give us some action and some fight scenes and the like, you know, I know we do get a bit, you know, especially towards the end and stuff, but yeah, there should have been more.
Yeah, like when Wesley, whatever his name is, Brad, the bad guy, takes the monster truck and goes to that man's dealership, this is getting, come on.
yeah, it's farcical. Like,
usually, if you have a bad guy and he's trying to threaten you to take town, he'll do what he did to Red's place, you'll burn it down. You're not going to go in public daylight with witnesses.
Yeah.
And destroy a man's dealership.
With a monster truck?
So fucking stupid.
It is daft.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah. But they get their comeuppance, and then, you know, Patrick Swayze then turns into James Bond, you know, with his, you know, James Bond type car that he's, you know, his cool car, his real car, you know, which he basically uses to distract them, you know.
There's another line. Better than when pain don't hurt.
Yeah.
This is the better line. This is the best. So Jimmy and Dalton are about to fight.
Yes.
Right? They're going to kick some ass. And it's pretty good. It's an effective fight scene. It works. It's the stunt guys and the actors did fine. But Jimmy holds his hands up, right? He's bleeding. Dalton's bleeding. He goes, I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
That's right. <I'd> be, yeah. Yeah.
If Oops. I was Dalton, I'd be like, whoa, what? He goes, yeah. I'm just here to fight.
Yeah. What is even the context of that line? What does that actually meant to mean? You know, it doesn't even make sense, really, you know, in terms of the context of the scene and them fighting. Know.
Yeah. It's like, are you trying to sell this, sir?
Yeah. I mean, are you trying to hit on me? Are you trying to hit on? Or what does this mean? It doesn't. You know, it's bizarre.
Oh yeah. My God. I've been laughing. It was, and then quickly, Patrick Swayze rips his throat out.
Yes. Yeah. And Kelly sees him do it, and she's all horrified and stuff, you know what I mean? Yeah, because, you know, this is obviously a callback to his, you know, his backstory, you know, his traumatic backstory where I killed a man, you know?
Yeah. But it was self-defense. Yeah.
Yeah. Both times was self-defense, you know, where he's killing people. and he doesn't even kill the main bad guy at the end either. It's the fucking townsfolk raiding all.
Well, I kind of like that, actually. Yep. But after he rips the throne out, Liz sees this. Dr. Clay sees it.
Yeah.
First thing she does is run over to Jimmy to see if he's okay. Yeah. And I'll be like, if you're a doctor,
yeah.
I don't think he's coming back from this one.
Yeah, yeah, Dr. Pornstar, yeah.
God.
Oh,
and then, and then Wade gets it. Again, it was just a write-off. It was almost like Keith David's character. He invested all this fucking time with, you know.
He deserved
the prudence. You got Sam Elliott and Keith David, and they just kind of wasted.
Sam Elliott deserved the cool death scene. Instead, Patrick Swayze thinks he's drunk, but he's got a knife in his back. It's just
in his chest.
Yeah,
well, but there was that cool fight scene that they had that he and Sam, that Wade and Jimmy had.
Yes,
That was pretty good because you can see he's still limping because Wade's got that injury. So they did play on that. But yeah, you're right. You needed something where he gets taken out, and it should have been in front of him.
Yeah,
and that would cause him to want to rip his throat out. Jimmy should have killed him in front of Wade.
Yeah, a big
in front of Dalton.
Yeah. A big dramatic moment like that would have worked instead. Yes. We just see the aftermath.
Yeah, because you're playing it kind of, you're having a good time with it. You're just going with what the fuck, I don't care. Yeah. But if you do a dark, if you turn the tables on the viewing audience, and all of a sudden you see Wade get his head blown off right in front of Dalton, and his blood's all over him. Now people can go, okay, this is just turned up a level.
Yeah.
And now we're with them.
The dramatic weight.
Yes. They didn't do that.
Yeah, yeah. Instead, we got a pretty spelt fucking note of
him. I gotta look at that. I don't think I can't see them fucking that out.
It's a quick shot.
It could be, though, because they're not. The funny thing is, you're right. The bad guys aren't very smart.
Yeah, and that it could be intentional. Deliberate. Yeah, it could be, like, deliberate.
Totally. But I do like that they all shoot him.
Yes.
Red, Emmett, the Ford guy, ownership dude. They all take a shot at him.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that. And they hide the guns. And the sheriff's like, what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then your mom gets
It ends with Dr. Clay and Dalton skinny dipping.
Again, Dr. Pornstar and Mr. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody lives happily ever after. And stupid guy gets a polar bear, falls on top of him.
Yeah. Wow. You know.
The bad guys are dead.
Well, I ripped this movie pretty good, but I watch it again. I enjoy it. It's 80, something about the 80s.
Yeah.
It gets away with it.
Yeah.
I'd own it. I'd watch it. I'll put it in and watch and have a good laugh. But from a technical aspect of it, it's a train wreck.
Yeah, it's complete and utter nonsense. But it wouldn't be as effective for me as, like, say, maybe Tango and Cash or whatever.
Yeah, Tango and Cash is 3,000 times better than this.
Yeah, it's really entertaining. But to me, this is just, It does irritate me at times, a lot of the time, but at the same time, I do laugh at some of the more outrageous, sort of campy, sort of over-the-top 80s cheese. It takes itself way too serious, way more serious than it should.
Yeah.
You know, whereas it would work better with something more in the tone of Tango and Cash, or maybe even Lethal Weapon, where it's actually, with quirky one-liners and stuff. The character of Dalton is preposterous, Mr. Perfect, that bugs me. But, yeah, it does have a certain replay value in terms of it as a bit of a cult, for a few sort of crazy one-liners and a few decent fight scenes, and stuff.
I think people who listen to this review, and we know a lot of people like this film, they'll agree with everything we just said and laughing at it. But at the same time, we all have a soft spot for it.
Yeah.
And we still enjoy it. So that's the difference. That's what it is. So people won't be offended about what we said, even though it's one of their favorites, because they know that's why they like it.
We're not lying here,
Yeah.
And I would say, despite the character of Dalton being ridiculous of the highest order, Swayze's always likable.
Yeah, exactly. I like Swayze. He's got a good on screen presence.
Yes.
And you're always rooting for him. Mm-hmm. Even in Point Break, he played that teetering on good and bad. Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, that's right, people, bonus episode, or might not be a bonus episode because you're going to probably want to go, what the fuck?
Depends what way you view it.
Now, yeah. Guys, do you want any spoilers if you haven't seen, because no one else has?
Yep.
Roadhouse 2, Last Call. This was directed, I can't believe this. This is actually directed by Scott Zeal. Mm-hmm. This man has given us some great, great shit. Like, Shadow Witness, remember that one? Broken Vessel, and the cult hit Squanderers.
Yep,
never heard of them.
Nope, neither have I.
Heard of them. And what do you do to replace Patrick Swayze? You get Jonathan Skeets. I can never pronounce his last name.
All I know is the guy was in that Tom Hanks film. That thing.
That thing. Yeah, that's what put him on the map.
Yeah,
he plays Shane. You got Ellen Holman, who plays Bo. Richard Norton is Victor Cross. Jake Busey is way over the top, way overused. He's better as a cameo. Wild Bill, and you get, I shocked, Will Patton's in this, plays Nate Turner. Then he got a bunch of shit. Now, Will Patton, there is a little side story here, and if you replace Will Patton with he plays Nate Turner. He owns a bar. He's not a cooler. He owns the bar.
Yeah.
You replace him with Dalton, because originally this character was supposed to be Dalton.
That's right.
And Dalton was supposed to own the bar. He's retired, owns a bar, and something goes wrong, and he's hospitalized. That's where the story was supposed to go. Well, and Patrick then creative differences, Patrick Swayze walked away.
Yes.
Now, when they say creative differences, I'm going to assume Patrick Swayze just read the script and says, fuck off.
Yeah.
That's what it was. There's no way he had any say in this, because this is terrible. And
so they basically killed Dalton off screen. He was murdered by basically Jake Busey.
Dalton's dead.
This is about Dalton's son.
What?
This is about Dalton's son. This is Dalton's
Shane
son.
Shane is Dalton's son?
Yes. Were you paying attention?
No.
This is Dalton's son. Dalton has been murdered.
How many? Wait a minute. And Will Patton raised him.
Yes. Will Patton is Dalton's brother.
No. But what's Dalton's last name?
What?
What was Dalton's last name in Roadhouse?
I can't remember.
Look it up.
I just know it was Dalton. Yeah, but no. And the story of this film, Shane is Dalton's son, and Will Patton is his brother, and Shane's...
So how old is this?
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing. When is this set in the future? Is this science fiction?
Yeah, because he would be a lot older then, because Jonathan is like 30.
Yeah, I know that there. Yeah, well, he's at least like 28 or something. So he is. So... But no, this is Dalton.
He's a DEA agent. He's 30.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's about late 20s, he's about 30. So, yes, this is the story of Dalton's son. So this is a direct sequel to Roadhouse. Whether people like it or not, This is a direct sequel.
I didn't catch that. That he's his son.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. So, yes, but, and the backstory is that whenever he was a rookie cop, whenever Shane was a rookie cop, he basically, also, everything's really sort of, it's a very small world here because it just happens to be that the town Shane goes to just happens to have these same bad guys that killed his dad, Dalton. But, you know, so like tiny universe here. But anyway, yeah, the backstory is whenever he was a rookie cop, he basically, main bad guy, he busted main bad guy for drugs. So main bad guy was out for revenge and sent Jake Busey, who's the most fucking stupidest fucking villain ever. You know what I mean? He's a moron of the highest order. So he's the last person you would send to do a hit. He sends him to kill him. Shane, whenever he was a young cop, but instead he killed Dalton instead, his father.
So, idiot Jake Busey, Wild Bill, is the one who killed the badass Dalton.
Yes, that's right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. What a totally dishonorable death for Dalton off screen, who was Mr. Perfect in the first one.
The this whole opening sequence is pathetic. It's a DEA drug bust,
yeah,
and then a DEA agent poses as a stripper, takes Shane, who's a DEA agent, behind the curtain to fuck him.
Yes.
During the DEA bust.
Yeah. Which was no doubt a really, you know, in reality, it's actually a really dangerous thing to do. Right. Aside from the ridiculousness of it, it's also extremely unprofessional thing to do.
I know. Hey, we just busted the big DA. We have a bunch of a big drug bust. Let's go fucking have a lap dance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although it's, they're sort of doing it so that you think that, yeah, it's sort of like, I don't know, it's trying to trick the audience into thinking that he actually, you know, Shane actually is one of the bad guy drug dealers.
No, you're supposed to think he is. And she's
yes,
DEA.
I know.
Oh, yeah. And then he takes off his jacket, his big shirt that says DEA on it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Just in case, you know. You know. We'll have to, like, literally spell it out.
Oh, my God. What a misdirect. I didn't see that coming.
Well, I mean, this is up there with, you know, in terms of misdirect, this is, like, up there with the usual suspects, Kaito Tuse and stuff, you know.
Now, I'm going to give this movie a big pass. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably going to get... So, Luther sets up, he's, who we know is the guy setting everyone up the entire time.
Yes.
Sets up Will Patton, Nate.
Yes.
And Wild Bill meet.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they get into a fight.
Yeah. But by the way, just as an aside, I would say that this film totally missed the trick by not having someone at an alligator.
Yeah. How many pictures of alligators do we get and we never get one eaten? No one gets eaten.
I wanted it to go like, you know, X, you know, that Ty West film. Where's the fucking alligator deaths?
If anybody should have gotten the alligator death, it should have been fucking
Jake Busey.
Yeah. But so they're fighting on the dock. And there's a couple fight scenes in this. I will say now, the choreography and the fights in this are pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
And I think these are the fights that should have been in Roadhouse because we didn't really get that. We got a couple fake punches in Roadhouse. We got some pretty bad. If you guys want to see some pretty good fighting, there's some good fighting in here.
It's over the top and it's unrealistic, but yes, it's better choreographed. And I would say as well, overall, there are a lot of elements with this film. I mean, it certainly has its flaws, including like a lack of tension. And other things, and performances,
plot,
jump off the screen.
Story, writing,
yeah.
Acting.
Well, the story's copy and paste of the original, but I would say that there are quite a lot of elements of this one that are better than the original, you know? But
I do think the fight scenes. Also, yep. There is a threat here.
Yeah.
They're killing people.
Yeah.
Where, you know, so, and like, guys, this movie's terrible. Don't get me wrong. But if you want to fast forward to the fight scenes, they're pretty good.
It's very flatly directed. And, you know, the performances, apart from Jake Busey, the performances are not very memorable at all.
Yeah, and then you got fucking William Ragsdale from Fright Night in this.
Who pretty
much does nothing. This guy really took off. Will Patton was the smart. He probably read most of the rest of the script and goes, okay, listen, can I be in a coma for the rest of the film? No problem. And sadly, that he comes back to fight, which is a terrible scene again.
Yeah. And there's a bit of slapstick comedy and stuff in there that doesn't work, you know, with like the older guy who also works in the bar, but also just by chance is sharing a fucking hospital room with him. You know, there's a lot of conveniences here. It's, you know what I think the biggest problem with this is? I know the original intended to be serious, but turned out to be real campy silliness. This is too serious, goes too serious in terms of its tone. If they had have just played tongue-in-cheek, I think it would have been a lot better. You know what this actually reminded me of? And this is, you're going to laugh because this is another
obscure... If you say it's fucking Sling Blade.
No, I'm not. I'm going to say the direct-to-video sequel to The Lost Boys, which came out around the same time. It has the same feel to it and the same sort of aesthetic, but also the fact it's not really related. I mean, there are some loose connections there to the original in any real way, you know?
The Tribe, you know? Wasn't it called or something?
Yeah. Yeah, come out around the same time, you know? And it's just, and obviously it's a completely different story, The Roadhouse and The Lost Boys, but it just has the same feel and same sort of, you know, it's almost like the same team made both. You know, say, like, let's grab an 80s classic and do a sequel.
So you have all these little characters, and you meet this Deputy Hendricks.
Yes.
And, you know, he's a bad guy, but, you know, he's not. You know this guy's going to turn as a good guy. It's not exactly plant. They don't plant the seed. They don't need to. You can just tell. This movie's... It reads like a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah,
very simple.
You can see it all coming.
You can predict the next line. It's just...
Yeah. You know who's very good in it, though? I thought were really good. The twins at the beginning. They stole the show for me.
Jesus. Well, they're in there for like a half a second.
They made the poster.
Yeah. they pretty much promoted this as softcore porn.
And that's an injustice to the actual film itself, because it's not, you know what I mean? Yes, there's a couple of sex scenes, a couple of scenes, but you sort of have to have that in a Roadhouse film. But
no, you don't. That's the other thing. Roadhouse did it, at least with Roadhouse. It was subtle. It was, besides the dance sequence.
It was subtle.
Kelly Lynch was not fully, no.
It was about as subtle as a fucking... What do you call it? As an elephant in a fucking china
shop?
No.
I completely disagree with you. There's a difference between that stupid little dance scene where he makes her just, you know, come down and blah, blah.
You just mean the sex scene between Kelly and
I'm talking about
Schwizzy.
There's girls in the jacuzzi, two of them. There's topless. I mean, no. There's a difference between, believe it or not, subtlety and just direct-to-video softcore. And I don't care. But no, Roadhouse had, there was professionalism behind the lens. This is not. I know you're a little schoolboy perv. And you're like,
the twins were good. I like the twins.
See? Yeah, I see.
And the bathtub lesbian scene. For some reason. Yeah.
So we find out in the flashback, Sane was trained by his uncle. That's where he learned all. Because
yeah, we got flashbacks, yes.
Yeah, but why didn't Dalton train him then? How come we don't see
dead.
Training him?
No, they explain it away. I think originally if Patrick Swayze had come on board, it would have been Patrick Swayze, you know, doing the, you know, as a boy training him. But they explain it, it's like a one-line fix where it says, my father traveled around a lot, I didn't see much of him. And then whenever he did see him, he was murdered in place of him. So he was.
Oh, my God. The fight scene between, yeah, that the black guy who works for Wild Bill.
Yes.
And he's causing a ruckus in the bar. That's a pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's another good fight scene. Again, well done.
What about Ninja Woman? She's completely unrealistic.
Oh, not Nadia?
Yeah.
Nadia, the knife woman?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Completely unrealistic, and she can do somersaults and all sorts, you know?
Yeah. But, we got fucking Elektra in this now.
But sexy jeans woman, Bo, she kicks her ass later on. And she's a school teacher or something, isn't she?
I don't know what the fuck she does, but...
Oh, no, it turns out she's ex-army as well.
Yeah. She shows up to the bar for like a half a second. You want a drink? I don't drink. She leaves and then gives him the finger.
Yes. What was that all about?
What was that all about?
I don't know. I mean, she all of a sudden, is she like fucking split personality or something? Or, you know what I mean?
She was really like, nice whenever
he was fixing her car, you know, when he was changing the tire. And then she was really nice to him, like, throughout the entirety of the film. Well, apart from this one really weird scene where she turns nasty on him, like, gives him the finger. Why? There's no explanation for this.
I know. I don't. That's their way of teasing.
But it doesn't come across as flirting.
It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing when Jimmy says, I used to fuck guys like you.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't make sense.
In this town, they give you the finger.
Yeah. They also throw in some references to the original with the whole, I thought you'd be bigger, you know, when they say that about Dalton.
Yeah. And then he also does three rules. Never underestimate someone. Take it outside. Yeah. Be nice until it's not time to be nice.
Yeah. Even though, like, with the whole take it outside rule, in the first and the second, pretty much all of the fights happen in the bar. So I know it's not their fault, you know, because they're basically, it's the bad guys' faults for starting in the bars. But at the same time, the rule's broken, like, every time.
So Wild Bill is working for Victor Cross.
Yes.
They don't want the bar. They want the land.
Yeah, well, again, it's copy and paste from the original where it's a bunch of villains basically running a town, including in this one, the police, the sheriff and all. And it's the same plot as the original. Just done as stylish and with as much grace.
You see the fucking scene where they come in to make him an offer, like 400K, whatever it was?
I had a ticket.
And so I'm saying, here, no problem. But
yeah.
And then the bouncer just comes in acting like a robot. What the fuck are you doing? And the guy goes, are you retarded? Sorry, that's what he says in the movie. And I'm like, yeah, is he?
Yeah, I know. I didn't know, you know, obviously I've seen this character before. It took me a while to, is that the way he gets on? Is there something wrong with him? And the stuff was just weird and bizarre. He does like it's robotic. It's like mime, robotic mime dance. And it's fucking totally out of place. But thankfully, he survives, you know, at the end, and you see him doing it at the very end, you know, in the sort of montage at the end where it's a big happy ending and they're all in the bar and they're singing and dancing and there's that wee midget guy in the band and stuff. And then it flashes to him, even though he'd been badly injured in an earlier scene, you know, whenever they came to the bar to get Shane. You see him and he's doing the robotics dancing again. So there you go.
Remember the fucking... When he's on the phone and she's outside.
Yeah.
And he thinks he's a burglar, but he thinks she's talking to her on the phone and she's the one outside. It's so stupid. And there's a line. This is so bad. He goes, I finally get to my bedroom and I don't even know your name.
Yeah.
And she goes, that sounds like a country song. And she starts singing it.
Yeah. I know. She wouldn't be the greatest actor in the world, but you know, but she drives a cool riverboat thing like Rambo. So there you go. And she's a school teacher,
and she's the cousin,
an ex-army.
She's a cousin of Wild Bill.
Yes,
and she sets him up, though, doesn't she?
To be fair, who she sets Shane up?
Yeah.
No, she saves Shane.
No, she tried. She was told to lure him out while they go to destroy the barn.
No, aye, but she shags him instead to sort of save him.
Okay.
Yeah. To be fair, you know, I'd run with that.
While he's getting fucked, he's supposed to be meeting these poor guys at the bar because he was going to help them clean up. He decides he's got to get his dick wet, and these poor bastards, the robot man and Fright Night, are getting their ass kicked.
Yeah, exactly. Robot Man and Fright Night Guy. Well, Fright Night Guy gets killed. He gets murdered.
Does he die?
Yes.
But I thought he was just unconscious.
No. That's Robot Guy. He's just unconscious.
So Fright Night is dead.
Fright Night dies, but Robot Guy survives because you see him at the very end doing robotic skins.
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah, Robot Guy. But still sad about Fright Night Guy, you know?
The whole fucking hospital scene was terrible.
Yeah, it's badly executed.
Will Patton, buddy, you should have got out of this film. You deserve better. Thank God he go to Michael Myers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's badly executed, and it's just a bit, it's dragged out a bit too much as well.
Oh, it's way long. And where is everybody in the hospital? And there's actually a scene where Busey is going into this entourage,
yeah,
and Nadja whips out a knife to one, yeah, of the secretaries or the nurses. And he goes, whoa, whoa, take it easy. Be respectful. But they're all carrying like fucking M16s,
yeah,
and fucking shot off shotguns.
Yeah, yeah. I have to admit, I really like Jake Busey in this.
he's actually playing it right. He's playing it, fuck it, this movie sucks, I'm going to ham it up.
Yeah, he's basically, and he's doing a really good impression of his dad as well. You know, I mean, obviously physically looks like his dad.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he's totally like, you know, yeah, go overboard. And, you know, he out of all of the, I'm sorry to say, but all of the sort of actors in this are pretty bland, whereas he's not. He's definitely not.
So, in the hospital, Will Patton's hanging on for his life. He then gets stabbed in the back.
Yep.
He's rushed to the OR, ER, yep, whatever.
Yeah.
And all this chaos is happening, right?
Yes.
And the house is being shot. It's the most
emptiest hospital as well, by the way.
What?
Where's the rest of the people? There's like one other piece.
I know.
It's a massive hospital. Exactly. Where's the extras? Where's the doctors? Where's the nurses?
There's no lights. And nothing else.
There's no people.
So they go, they're shooting up her house, Bo's house. Oh, I can't remember if they're shooting up. Or they're shooting up the...
it's Bo's house.
The fucking... the bar. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
They go out, decide, I'm going to rape her now.
Yeah.
They're going to rape... where the fuck are you taking this?
Yeah.
They're gonna, exactly. I'm going to rape her, and we're going to kill fucking Shane. It just comes out of
the blue. Yeah. And your mom just goes, right, take your fucking pants off. And it's like, whoa.
What is this going? And that whole Victor Cross fight scene was so boring.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's your main bad guy, and you don't see anything really happen to him.
He's useless. He's not even threatening. You know what I mean? Not properly.
Well, the acting's pretty threatening. I mean...
but yeah, and it's like the tone of it throughout is pretty much generally just a bit of an action sort of flick tone. But then this potential rape scene and all just gets thrown in. That's quite, well, it's like, whoa, what am I watching here? Last House on the Left?
No, it's like, what the fuck? I do like Wild Bill's death. It's a good, yes, fight scene. I think the fight's pretty decent.
Yes.
And he kicks him out the window and he falls on top of the Pelican, the Black Pelican's, yeah, name of the bar.
But again, they totally missed the trick by not having them being at by alligators.
Or somebody. Even Victor. Give us Victor by the alligator. Give Victor by the pelican and give Wild Bill the gators.
Yeah, yeah.
Those deaths should have been decent.
Or even that guy on the bar, you know, who was basically Luther? Working for... yeah, yeah, Luther. Luther. Or somebody like that, you know. Fuck it. I would just fuck the whole cast in at the end.
Well, at the end, the bar is open. Shane is there with Uncle Turner at his side.
Yes. Everybody survived apart from Fright Night Guy, you know.
So Fright Night Guy did die. Okay.
Yes, as far as I'm aware.
Yes, I just saw him not unconscious. I wasn't sure if he was dead or not.
No. I'm near certain. He definitely dies. But then, what do you call it? Everybody lives happily ever after apart from him. He's... yeah, fuck, yeah. Fright Night Guy. But at least we got Robotics Guy back, to be fair.
Yeah. What an ass clown. No fucking idiot.
I'd have thrown him into the alligators for doing that stupid dance alone.
Fucking idiot. Yeah, this movie's terrible. This is terrible. It's nothing like the original. The original one had charm, and it had Patrick Swayze charm. And Sam Elliott and Ben Gazzara. You had Kelly Lynch. You had, you know, good music. You had, you know...
unintentional campy charm.
Yeah, you had something there, and just rewatchabilities, that's a big one. Even though this does have fight scenes that I really do enjoy, that's only, what, 3 minutes of the entire film. The rest is just complete shit. This shit.
Busey. You know what I mean? He sort of steals the show, but yeah, he's not up again. He hasn't much rivalry for that.
Exactly. There's not much to steal.
Yeah.
There's nothing worth stealing.
My main issue is the total lack of tension, and it's very flat in terms of the way it's directed.
The funny thing is, you're kind of right what you said in the beginning.
Yeah.
If you took some of the elements of this one and put them in the Roadhouse, the original, the better fight, the better choreography fighting.
Yes.
You could have had the ending should have taken place in the bar, it did, because that's the main, the main hub there. Hope. And it actually would have played better, I think. I think if you took, it's almost like when you said that Roadhouse was like 4 hours long originally. All they did was, no, I'm serious. They probably took out the elements that were in that one, the cut stuff, and put it in this.
Yeah.
Because they do work if you blend it.
Well, this is the same story as the original, with a few tweaks. But what this one lacks that the other one unintentionally has is the campy 80s cheesy charm.
Yeah, and you don't have competency here. You don't have competency director. You don't have competency screenwriters. You just don't have it. You have some nice choreography in there, but that's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing here.
Well, it's the same story as the original, but just like copied and pasted. But instead of Dalton, it's Dalton's son.
All right, guys. You're welcome.
Conor McGregor's up next.
Yeah, we just wrapped up. You're welcome for us giving you Roadhouse 2 last call. Hope you enjoyed that nice little treat because we did it. So next up, the very controversial reboot, requel, whatever you want to call it, Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor. I have seen it. My verdict is still out. I'm going to watch it again. It's got some fun stuff going for it. A-list director behind the lens. So what could go wrong, right?
Uh-oh. Yep.
All right. You guys can give us a shout on Instagram at CitizenFrame_podcast. And, of course, on Facebook. Give us a shout what you think of Roadhouse. And if you're willing to watch Roadhouse 2, certainly give us your thoughts. We're going to wrap this one up. It's an early Saturday morning, and I'm going to enjoy the sun.
I'm not. I'm going to work.
Ha ha ha. You suck.
I have a very important job.
I fuck guys like you in prison. What? What was that for? What?
Yeah.
Oh, that was the best. All right. See y'all later.